That's awful, isn't it? Oh, my. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look down at, let's just start at the top here. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come, I may won't have to be as bold as I expect towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this old world, which we don't. And verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not walk after the world or wage war with the world, it says. And it says in verse 4, your weapons we fight with are not carnal. They're not weapons of the world. They're not guns and knives and stuff like that. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we, key word here, you probably had somewhere between 15, believe it or not, and 20,000 thoughts today. Did you take every one of them captive? Because that's the instruction here in verse 5. Take every thought captive. And were all of your thoughts good thoughts? Probably not. Again, another reason you really need to be prayed up. You really need to get yourself before God and use that Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God. And do it continually. I do it several times a day. Things happen all the time. It happens to you. Before you came to church tonight, things happen to you. You go home tonight, things are going to happen to you. Keep your focus on Christ. Gaze at Him, glance at the enemy. Because you have a battle here in Huntington. You have a battle if you're a part of this church. Let me encourage you, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, to seriously consider Him, would you? How long before Jesus comes, do you think? How many of you think it's soon? I believe it's real soon. Now, if that's true, do any of you have lost family members? Sure you do. How about a friend? Do you have a lost friend? If Jesus comes, what's going to happen to them? I recall hearing an evangelist, I never have forgotten this, because I thought, wow, what an illustration. This evangelist said, let's say this happens. Let's say God changes His mind, and you don't have to suffer forever and ever in a Christless eternity burning in fire in a place called hell. You don't have to. In fact, God set a new timetable. He's going to make it 10,000 years is all you'll have to suffer, and then you'll be free. And he said, imagine that God could build me a fire suit, and there would be a fireproof elevator that would drop down into the bowels of hell. And I get on that elevator, and I'm taking this message to hell, and I drop down into the pit of hell. The doors open, there's screaming and gnashing of teeth, and everything is bizarre there. But somehow, God has empowered my voice in such a way that I say, be quiet! Everybody be quiet! And it goes still. I have a message for you from God. God told me to come to this place today and tell you, you will not have to suffer for all eternity. You'll only have to suffer for 10,000 more years. This brother said, and I believe it, he said he thought there would be rejoicing in hell, because the worst part of hell is there is no hope and you're never getting out, ever, unless the Bible's a lie. Wow. Have any of you ever had real trouble in your life? I don't think you can really appreciate and serve God as you should unless you've had some real trouble in your life. Because usually anybody that God has used, both in the Bible and present day, they've been through the mill. Poor Paul, didn't he go through it? And yet he was able, in a dungeon, sitting on his butt with rats crawling over his legs and bleeding, was able to sing. Was able to sing to Almighty God. We had singing here tonight, and it was great, and we sang along, and you said, but how about in your worst of circumstances? I was getting ready for a revival at my church, and we had a few touch-up things, and then we'd done a lot of painting in our church, and I was going to go over on a Friday morning and finish some things up, and then the team was coming in on Saturday, and then we were going to get ready for Sunday. And I'd gone into the family room, and I saw my daughter there, and the new baby was on her chest, and many times I said, do not put that baby on your chest, like it should have its own place. SIDS death, or whatever they call that, is so common. That was my last comment. You can only say stuff so many times. I went over to church. I'm painting. My cell phone rings. It's my oldest daughter, and she's screaming. She said, Daddy, you got to come home right now. You got to come home right now. We think Gabby's dead. I said, what? She said, don't even think. Just get in the car and come home. I went home. There was nobody there but police. They said I couldn't step on my own property. I said, do you know where everybody is? They said, over at Parkview. So I go over to Parkview, and there's my wife and my daughters, and everybody's crying hysterically. My wife grabs me and said, he's dead. Greg, he's dead. Can you believe this? Just the day before, I diapered 6 kids, so I'm out of that. But for some reason it happened that Gabby needed change, that he was at the point at 90 days old, that he was starting to reach up. And I got around real close to him, and he almost grabbed my face, and it was just a thrill. And I took his diaper off, and he's smiling, and I said, you know what, kid? You live in the greatest country in the world. And I said, you could grow up to be president someday. And he smiled. I'll never forget that. And 24 hours, he's dead. Hardest funeral I ever preached for my grandbaby. Wow, it's one of those why God moments, right? That's what we talked about. One of those why God moments. My wife is one of the toughest women you'll ever want to meet. She's had migraine headaches since she's 13. I've seen her many times slip in the bathroom, vomit, come right back out and do housework. I came home on a Wednesday night. She said, I'm really sick. I hate to do this to you, but I think we better go to the emergency room. I said, what's up? I don't know. Something's wrong inside. We got to go. I said, fine. Let's get over there. I figured it'd be something. They check her out, give her some pills, maybe keep her overnight, take a couple of x-rays or MRIs, whatever they do, and away we go. Wasn't to be. She got sicker and sicker. That very night, she nearly died at Parkview, Vandalia. And they brought in an EMS team. And the doctor said, if you're a praying man, pray she makes it to Parkview North. Only minutes away up north on DuPont Road. As I shared, she was there as it ended up 51 days with pancreatitis and a hole in her stomach. And both of those chemicals that was coming out of the pancreas and her stomach, acid, had affected her arteries, and the biggest conglomeration you have in your body is around your pancreas, which I did not know. and the leakage caused them to be infarcted, which is like blow up like balloons. And they said, this isn't going to work. She had to go through tracheotomy, all that stuff. It was just awful. I went 71 days sitting in a chair from my bed and showered in the public restrooms with her dishcloth or her hand cloth. Quite an experience. That's where the $1.4 million came in. But I recall one day leaning over and she said, and my wife would never, ever, ever, ever quit on anything. She said, I'm done, Greg. I said, excuse me? She said, I'm done, honey. I can't do this anymore. I'm too sick and I'm too tired. And we've been at this forever. I said, oh no. Patents do not quit. You're not going to quit. If I have to sub in for you here, I will. But we're not going to quit. We're going to take you someplace where you can get some help. I said, one of two things is going to happen, baby. Either, according to these doctors, very shortly, you're going to step into the presence of God, or I'm going to take you home. One of those two things is going to happen. I'm good with either one of them. And she smiled. I said, is there any place that I could take my wife? Because obviously you people are not getting the job done. You've quit on her. You just said you're going to keep her drugged till she dies. They said, there is no hope. If you want to take a chance, there's a place in Rochester, Minnesota called the Mayo Clinic. Duh, who didn't know about that? And one of the greatest pancreatic teams in America is in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the IU Med Center, of which point I just about choked the guy to death, the doctor. Why didn't you tell me this a couple of weeks ago before my wife is dying? It made no sense to me at all. You've been here doing your thing every day, and now you're letting her die, and you're telling me there's a place right down the road I can take her? If we think she will live, we'll take her by ambulance. If not, Samaritan will fly her down there in 40 minutes. She'll be in the ICU down there. So next thing I know, all these people coming in their blue military-style uniforms and wrapping my wife up. They're taking her down by Samaritan. Wow. Make a long story short, people. I just continued to pray and trust God. I just said, I don't know what's going on. I've tried to serve you as best I can. I've preached all over America and overseas, Lord. I'm in the very same church I started 30 years ago. May 30th of this year, I'll be there 30 years. I've tried to help as many people as I can. I've helped people all over the world in person. They've come to my home. They've flown into Fort Wayne and come to my home, and I've helped them. And I don't get this at all. Do you ever have that happen to you? As a Christian, you don't know what's going on? If not, you will. Yeah, you will. Let me just tell you, keep the faith. Just keep the faith. Just trust God. Everybody's different here. You know what's really neat? I see people all over. All the time. I love people. When God made you, regardless of what you think of yourself here tonight, when God made you, He broke the mold. There will never be another you. Do you understand that? I don't care what your problems are, whatever they are. You're something special to God. You'll never be replaced. We need to start, as Christians, acting like that. You're something special. God saved you in addition to that. That really puts a special badge on you, and one that Satan wants to hone in on, by the way. He hates you. He absolutely hates you. That's good with me. I'm fine with that. How about you? You're a child of the King. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Kind of a potpourri of thoughts this Wednesday night as your revival continues. I always speak from my heart as God would lead. Had no idea what I should say to you tonight. If just one was touched in some way, then it's been worth it all. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Greg, I believe God spoke to me about something tonight. I don't know what it might be, but with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you think he did, could I see your hand? Just put your hand up, back down. God bless you and you and you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. That couple there, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Did he tell you anything tonight that maybe you should be doing in the days ahead? I'll say again, time is short. There might be someone here tonight he's calling to preach. There might be somebody here tonight that he's calling you somehow to come alongside preacher in some capacity right in this church, or maybe join this church or a church, wherever. It's so important. I have the big five. I preach every Sunday to my church. You need to read your Bible every day. You need to pray every day. You need to serve every day. You need fellowship. Before you were saved, you fellowshipped with the bad guys and the bad gals. You're saved, you need to fellowship with one another. If this is your church community, then this is your family here. You need to be praying for them and serving with them, alongside them, and being with them. And then every Sunday, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. You need church. You need what God gives you through the man he's called. It's so important. So important. I know I have some problems, preacher. I know I do. Would you pray for me? I don't need to know your name, but I want to recognize your hand and I will remember you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. In the back, God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down after you've raised them. God bless you. How many of you pray for me? I'm not sure what God has for me in the days ahead. Thank you. I had no idea I'd be here tonight. I was all set for my church. And I did not hesitate one moment when I heard Pastor's message, and I called him right back and he told me his dilemma. And I was excited for the opportunity to meet you and speak to you. You got to be excited about God's work. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're Huntington's trash collector. You better be the best trash collector for God. I don't care where you're coming from or what you do or what people have said about you or all that nonsense that I talked about in the past. That's all rubbish. Lean on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, would you just pray for me? I'm not real sure tonight. If I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I sure don't want to go to that place you talked about with the 10,000 years. It's going to be eternity. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Everybody's saved here. That'd be great. I'm happy for you. But maybe, just maybe, someone here tonight in that church on New Year's Eve, 1973, those 150 people in that little Baptist church, only one guy raised his hand. Only one guy. And it was hard to do. I did not want to admit I didn't know something. I thought I was going to heaven, for pity's sakes. Mom and Dad took me to church all my life. First Brethren Church, Roanoke, Indiana. What? I am lost, aren't I? I am lost. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, would you just pray for me, preacher? Because I'm not sure. And with the uplifted hand, I could pray for you. I'm not sure I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Could I have the privilege? I'll not embarrass you. I'll not single you out. I'll not come after you. But I do want to pray for you. Anyone at all in this building, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure, Pastor. Pray for me. You think about it. So we're now assuming everyone in this room has trusted Christ as Savior. Do other people know that? Do other people know that you're a Christian? Do you have a love for people? Do you want to see souls saved? Do you get excited when you hear plans about your church doing something to try to get people to come in? Our next big event probably coming will be Easter. We make so many jokes about Easter, but we shouldn't. It's a chance for us. It's a chance for us to present the gospel. I don't care why they're coming, just so they come and I have a chance to say something and share Jesus Christ. Let's all stand as the music plays softly. If you need to come and pray, I usually see the most spiritual people come first.